Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. Okay, and by the way, as somebody pointed out, it will not be a signing. It will be a trade.
Yeah.
When he gets traded here.
Yeah.
Okay. Not signs here. Well, just a little point of order. That's all.
Okay.
Rodgers, by the way, only has 89 interceptions in his career.
How many touchdowns? Like 240?
Plus presents question mark. Can I get some effort new music here, Benny, while I quickly look that up?
Yeah, 300 touchdowns. Yeah, you gotta have. Imagine how long did he play? 14 years? But he didn't play his first 4 years. 300 and some touchdowns versus 89 interceptions,
oh,
I guess.
Oh, no. 412 touchdowns to 89 picks.
Holy moly.
That's over 4-to-1 ratio. Wow. Wow. I mean, he's had seasons where he's gone 45 touchdowns, 6 picks. 40 touchdowns, 7 picks. Last year, 48 touchdowns, 5 picks.
Relax. 48 and 5.
Had a Packer fan this weekend telling me, yeah, but, you know, his 3 seasons before that weren't very good, and so they were completely justified in preparing for his exit.
Yeah. That's the Packer loyalist. It's all about the organization. We're title town. Come on.
All right, let's get to a question mark.
I like it when you chuckle while you're reading.
No. I'm just looking for some good ones. I'm not necessarily looking for one that's going to be from Mount Pompous. Can Mark be on the ladder holding Stokely like the Lion King?
Oh, yeah. Do that.
Oh, how about Ryan?
Come here, little fella. I'll have to hike up because I have the ladder on my back. I'll have to borrow the baby Bjorn from Peyton. Carry Stokely up. I'll just hold him up there. Be a nightmare.
Ryan in Missouri.
Uh-huh.
I do not want a 39-year-old quarterback. Rodgers can just go live with you on your stupid island. Really? You don't want him? First of all, he wouldn't be 39. He'd be 38.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Rodgers profiles as somebody who could have a Brady-like run into his 40s.
I'll take a 50-year-old Rodgers over what we've had the last 5 years.
That's true.
I don't want. I didn't know you were running things, Ryan, in Missouri.
Nah, he's a fan. It's okay. That win. Notice I'm saying win. I'm believing in you, big fella.
When? Okay, not when, but when.
When that this happens, we're going to have that debate. Trust me. Although I think the moment that Aaron Rodgers comes here and does his introductory Broncos press conference, even guys like Ryan in Missouri would be like, I'm so happy. This is so good.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be Peyton all over again. I'll bring up these old texts to him and he'll be like, no, I never said that. It's right here on my screen. No. Somebody else. I love this move.
If you give me Aaron Rodgers, even for 2 years of him putting up 40 and 5, 45 and 7, you're talking about AFC championship being played here in Denver.
All right, here's my question mark then, presented by Breaks Plus. When they make the deal for Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
How many years does he have to play here in order to justify the asking price? So let's say the asking price is three ones.
Okay.
How long does he have to play here in order to justify to pay that off?
Do they win a championship?
Okay, so that you're saying if it's a championship in only 2 years, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
I agree with you. If it's no championships in 2 years. No championships in 4 years.
Are you there?
Yeah.
I mean, are you fighting for a championship every year? Yeah.
Yep.
I'd be okay with that.
So
elite level play for 4 years, you're in the AFC championship a couple times, you just don't get it.
Would you sign up for that for 4 years? Giving up three firsts?
Yeah.
Yep.
I would.
Yep.
But again, now I don't value first rounders like a lot of people value first rounders. I mean, you know, you can get Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold in the first round. You can get, stellar Paxton Lynch can be in the first round.
Now, officially, that's a hat trick, but really, unofficially, it's been four smears because we did acknowledge the Paxton Lynch lazy river. That's four.
What's our record?
In one show? I think it's four. I don't think we've ever done five. I think we've done four, but that's a hat trick. So all of you driving along with expensive ball caps, roll down those windows and throw them out on the highway. It's a new tradition.
Yes. Tradition like none other.
Can you picture people like driving down the road and all of a sudden windows start flying open and cats come flying out?
Yeah. Could you imagine if you were driving down the road and do you have to open up the car door to get your hat out? You can't just throw it out the window. It won't fit. You got to open up the whole door. Driving down I don't recommend.
Plus, that'd be dangerous because that thing could easily land on somebody's windshield and that would just cover the whole windshield.
Right. It'd be like if your hood popped up
and
you're driving down I-25.
Right. Exactly. Your
hood pops up and. You may catch an updrift. People go, was there a solar eclipse? What the?
Are there aliens?
Yeah. It went dark here for a minute.
Is that an alien spaceship?
Yeah. No, Mike's hat blocked out the sun.
You know, I'm glad this happened. Honestly, I'm glad this just happened. Because somebody sent in a text saying, you know, all the shows seem to have smear campaigns now. When are we going to start an Evan smear campaign? And I'm like, excuse me, have you been listening to this show? Sausage fingers, Tyrannosaurus Rex arms, giant head, wispy hair, mom jeans, two rhinos wrestling under a blanket. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
That's right.
Smear. I was the original smear campaign.
You are the smear.
I'm the original one. Before Paxton, there was me. Start an Evan smear campaign. Listen to
the man in the mom jeans is correct.
See, listen to the show.
Your head is so big.
Evans would need a convertible to throw his hat out of his car.
Good call. Good call. Convertible. Maybe two guys in the back seat helping him get it off. Little crane.
Dexter, wow, you think that many people listen to your show? Yes, and apparently you're listening too right now. So throw that hat out the window there, 1149.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Saquon Barkley. I want to get back to Barkley.
Yes.
And as we look at this game, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I almost feel like Saquon Barkley's been forgotten in this matchup. In that, you know, we talk about the Giants so much about what we saw from them last year. Daniel Jones, a quarterback that seems to be heading towards bust territory. We talk about the dysfunction along their offensive line, you know, all that stuff. And I'm like, hello, Saquon Barkley is coming back. He's ready to go. And this is a guy who, you know, undeniably, we see the impact he can have. His first year in the NFL, this is a guy who was 2,000 yards from scrimmage, 1,300 yards rushing, 700 yards receiving on 91 catches. And even in 2019, where his production dipped a little bit, 1,500 yards rushing, 52 catches in 13 games, but you saw the positive impact that he had on Daniel Jones as a rookie. Jones that year went out, had 24 touchdowns to 12 picks. Not a bad start for a rookie. But last year, no Barkley, and Daniel Jones really struggled. 11 touchdowns to 10 interceptions.
What year was Barkley drafted?
2018.
And what year was Daniel Jones drafted?
2019.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley is... Yeah, I had forgotten that he caught 91 balls. It was his rookie year, right?
Rookie year.
What did he catch his second year?
I just told you, 52.
I wasn't
in
listening.
In 13 games.
52.
In 13. So you extrapolate that over three more games, he's probably up around, probably close to 70 balls.
Yeah. He's a big time threat out of the backfield. He's a big time threat in the open field. My biggest thing with him going back in the memory banks, because I haven't looked at him on film. I didn't play in the preseason, but I haven't really looked at him.
By the way, one last thing to add. Yeah. 15 touchdowns that rookie season, by the way, too. 11 rushing, 4 receiving.
He is one of those guys that you have to get him a number of touches, kind of like Shady McCoy in the day. If you really look at the Philadelphia running game back with Shady McCoy when he was at his prime, he'd have a ton of 1 yard, 2 yard, minus 1 yard, 3 yard, minus 1 yard, 57. And that's how his deal went. And so what you really have to do as a defense is have solid gap control. Don't get out of your gap. Because if you're out of your gap, Mike, and you give him an opening, that dude's a house call. Just an absolute house call. And, yeah, my big thing with him is he'll take a lot of negative runs. And if you get to the point where you can have a lead, you eliminate the potential, because they're just going to stop feeding him the ball, you eliminate the potential of that house call in the running game. Now, you still have to contend with him as a receiver. But the thing about their offensive line right now is they're really struggling, you know, to protect their quarterback. So how many free releases do you get a back? How many times do you have a check through? You know, you got to check the edge and then you go into a route. Well, I mean, if you're doing that, you're playing, you know, check halfback burst, check halfback Texas, check halfback, you know, spot, whatever it is. That's what you get into. So anyhow.
There's no doubt that if healthy, if right, this guy's a dynamic player.
Correct.
But what we've seen with him and the injuries he's already gone through, isn't it a reminder that you don't spend that high of a pick on a running back? You just don't. I mean, look at the running backs who've gone very high in the draft, and you tell me which one has lifted his team to greatness. Has Saquon Barkley done it? No. Has Christian McCaffrey done it? No. Has Ezekiel Elliott done it? No. In fact, if you go back and look at the top rushers in the NFL last year, Derrick Henry, second round pick, Dalvin Cook, second round pick, Jonathan Taylor, second round pick, Aaron Jones, fifth round pick, David Montgomery, third round pick, James Robinson, undrafted. You don't find... Well, let's see, keep going. Nick Chubb, second round pick. The first time you come across a running back taken in the first round that was in the top 10 was Josh Jacobs, and he went 24th. So let that be a reminder. You just don't spend super high picks on running backs. Even somebody as heralded as Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think Christian McCaffrey and Saquon are a bit different simply because of their receiving skills. Like if you're gonna play, if you're gonna grab a guy, guy has got to be a supremely gifted receiver. They talked about Christian McCaffrey when he was coming out of, hey, he could be a slot receiver. He's got that good. He's got complete and total command of the route tree. He can run any route, not just the running back routes, but he could run, you know, the slot receiver routes. So there is a nature to that. But, you know, again, this is one of the things I love about football is it's the ultimate team game. Just because you get a guy that is a dynamic player and is a great player and you know, is a physical beast, if you don't have a good concept, you don't have a good team around him, you don't have, same thing with the quarterback position, how effective are those guys? You're again, every time you walk out there on Sunday, you're one of 11. Now you're one that everybody has to contend with, but if the other 10 guys don't do their job, it really doesn't matter.
I knew these would be coming. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Don't ever draft anyone in the first round. I didn't say that. I mean, when it comes to drafting offensive linemen, stud defensive linemen, stud linebackers, yeah, I have no problem taking these guys high up in the first round. I'll even concede this point. I would take a quarterback high in the first round before I'd ever go near a running back or a wide receiver high up in the first round.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think.
By the way, quick question. A lot of you have been doing your fantasy drafts, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Mm-hmm. You don't play fantasy. You don't do it.
I don't do it anymore.
Okay. But you did.
I did for a long time.
Okay. But you haven't done one for this season.
I haven't done one in probably 6-7 years.
Okay. Here's my question. All of you out there who have done fantasy drafts, where did Henry Ruggs go? Because Henry Ruggs in mine went like in the the 15th round or something. He barely got drafted by a team.
What was he, the 10th overall pick or something?
Yeah.
11th overall pick?
Judy is, you know, trying to already, after 1 year, answering questions about whether or not he was drafted too high. My point being is that these receivers and these running backs, yeah. I just gave you the evidence, yeah. Folks. Of you found one running back taken in the first round in the top 10 last year, and that was a guy that went 24th overall.
The 24th overall pick was the Jefferson from Minnesota, right?
Yes.
He's like, you look at Ruggs, you look at Judy, you look at CeeDee Lamb, and Jefferson were taken well before in every fantasy draft, well before Ruggs or Judy. I would guess.
Yo, yes.
Way
yes.
Before.
Yes. Yes.
Ruggs absolutely. Is an afterthought. Like you said, Ruggs
right.
is
afterthought.
Hey, I need a complimentary wide receiver that I'm not going to start, but I need a starter on a bye week. I'll take Ruggs in the 9th round.
Honestly, he was probably, I'm trying to think really quick off the top. Easily, I'd say 40, 45 receivers went before. In fact, when he got picked, I went, oh, yeah, that's right, Henry Ruggs. I forgot about him.
You're picking your defense before you take
right.
Henry Ruggs.
Kickers went before Henry Ruggs.
I'll never take a kicker. They will be the last thing I take.
Yes. You'll like this one.
I don't like kickers.
It was done to insult me, but.
Oh, then I'm going to love it.
Maybe not.
Really?
Let's see. Mike, don't take a running back, wide receiver, with a top pick. Okay, let's have no high draft picks at skill positions. You want to take this one, Mark?
Well, first off,
because if you take a receiver or a running back that high, you're taking a skilled position player. But if you draft an offensive lineman that high, you're ignoring the skilled position. Skill positions. That's what this text is saying.
We've already established that those are periphery players. They're not skill position players. There's no greater skill in the history of this league than playing offensive line. I've already proven that. I have proven that beyond the shadow of a doubt. So I refuse to use the term skill position player unless I'm talking about offensive lineman. That is a skill position. So I'm all for taking skill position players in the high in the first round. You know, the Jedrick Wills of the world, the Tristan Wirfs of the world, you know, the guys that dominate the LOS. That's short for line of scrimmage.
Yes, yes, I know.
You guys can just, you got me, but just throw that out at work today. I was thinking about the LOS. How many pictures of, we got a car door open like with a hat outside. we got a lot of hat pictures on the text line right now. There's your actual hat, Mike, right there. Did you see that?
No.
On top of it's like a, look at this.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's actual size. It's like a big giant 12-foot hat.
My hat's like the same size as those carts that used to pick up the pitcher from the bullpen and bring him over to the mound.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's you.
So, but yeah, whenever I hear from the people like, no, you know, drafting receivers, drafting running backs, this is the effect. And I'm not saying it's a bad effect because fantasy football is awesome. Everybody loves fantasy football. Fantasy football has been one of the greatest things to ever happen for football fans, just to enjoy football, even involving two teams that you don't care about. It's been great, but there is a dark side to fantasy football. It's caused fantasy football players to overrate the importance of quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
Right.
So, you know, when I get these texts, I can immediately put these aside and say, okay, here is a loyal, rabid fantasy football player who has been duped into
believing the hype.
What really matters, right?
Well, what I tell you last year, and this is just this fact, look it up. Show me, go through the entirety of the playoffs. Show me the team that captured and won the line of scrimmage, and I'll show you the team that won every single playoff game. You know, from the Rams going to Seattle and thumping the Seahawks in Seattle with a backup quarterback, and then he gets hurt, and what happens? They bring Jared Goff into the game 10 days after he had a thumb surgery, and they still won. Why? Because they beat him up on the line of scrimmage. I mean, that's the bottom line. What happened in the Super Bowl? The Kansas City Chiefs got destroyed on the line of scrimmage.
That was a front seven beatdown.
Beatdown. And there's no way, as much as I love Tom Brady, and you know I love Tom Brady.
No.
There's no way Tom Brady should have been the MVP of that game.
Nope.
Devin White should have been the MVP of Super Bowl, what was that, 55? Double nickels? Yes, absolutely. 12 tackles, couple of sacks, pass breakup, interception. Come on. Stop it.
Yeah, that was and that's why when people are like, oh, Evan, who you draft in the first round? Hey, you will never get a complaint from me if you draft and build inside out. You go inside out, O-line, front seven on defense, you'll never hear a peep from me.
Right.
I mean, when I'm talking about building a football team, that's how I'll do it. That's how I'll try to do it.
I've always adhered to
it. Am I going to go get running backs and wide receivers and quarterbacks high up? No.
Show me a guy who affects the line of scrimmage, a guy that you have to double team on a day-to-day basis, on a game-to-game basis. Like you said, front seven guys. I'll even throw in elite level corners.
Sure.
In there.
Sure. Sure.
That's where I sit.
Okay. John Clayton. How does he see this Broncos season? All the summer talk is over. It's time to get down to some real predictions. We'll hear John Clayton's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of Zero Down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for Zero Down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
This music can mean one thing and one thing only. It is time for John Clayton, our senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com, presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Johnny, we're doing great. How do you see this Broncos-Giants matchup week one? And Mike and I have been talking almost like a must-win since Vic Fangio has never won a September game. How do you kind of view the Broncos heading out to Jersey to play this game?
Yeah, they have to win it. There's no question about it, because if they don't, it puts Vic Fangio in trouble. I mean, you can see the way that Vic has coached this preseason. He's been very aggressive, went going for fourth downs and all these different things. I mean, you can see they use starters a little bit more than most of the other teams in the league. I mean, he wants to show that he can win. And you look at the defense. I mean, you know, the defense should be able to contain what's going on with the Giants. I mean, the Giants certainly, you know, having Daniel Jones at quarterback, they should be able to contain him. And even though this is the best of the three teams that they play in September, I mean, this is still a six-win team from a year ago. Now, the Giants are better than people think because they are better on defense. And I think they've improved a little bit on the offensive line, but this is a must-win for them, because if not, then I think you can see that right now things aren't in good sync. But I would think right now things are in good sync enough with this team that they should be able to win.
All right, bigger picture, John. We've talked about all summer long what this team looks, what they've done, how they've improved, how they've stayed the same, regressed. In your mind, is this a 10-win team that can compete for the playoffs?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, because, again, I know when I did my Washington Post, not surprise teams, but teams that, you know, the rankings, I mean, everything is in the favor of the Broncos. Number one, they've got one of the better defenses in football. They have the best secondary in the league. They have three great receivers that can go out there. They've got, with Javonte Williams added to the running back core, they're very good in a 1-2 punch at running back. They've got, you know, I think Teddy Bridgewater can be good enough to be able to win some games. So I like this team a lot. And so I think that the two teams that I said would be, you know, in the playoffs as wild cards are in this three teams, I guess, technically, if you want to say Kansas City, because Kansas City is the best team in the conference. But I think the Chargers and the Broncos have the great chance to get wild cards.
Yeah, I think they've got a chance. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that have to line up. Certainly. And Vic Fangio has got to do, I mean, he's got to be great this year. How much of a hot seat, if you're looking at all the coaches on a hot seat, walking into the season, and obviously that changes as the season progresses depending on how you do, but is Vic Fangio on the top of your list on hot seat candidate coaches?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, it's not a matter that he has to make the playoffs to keep his job, but I think he just has to have a good season, you know, because, again, he has to show advancement. He can't have the seasons like he's had the last couple of years. He's got to show that, you know, he can win, because if he doesn't, then they're going to bring somebody else in. Simple as that. But, I mean, you look what's in favor of the Broncos, you know, thanks to the schedule, they get the fifth easiest schedule in the league, and certainly with the chance to get off to a 3-0 start, because after the Giants, you know, they play, you know, Jacksonville and the Jets, and so that's, you know, three teams, including the Giants, who were 9-39 last year, and of course the Jets and the Jaguars are, you know, three-win teams total. I mean, they won three games last year. So, I mean, really, I think the pressure's on him. But, again, what makes it easier is that schedule is so much easier than any other team in the division and one of the easiest in the National Football League.
Predictions this time of year are fun. Who do you have in the AFC and NFC championship games and playing in and winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, right now I've got, you know, Tampa Bay going against Green Bay in the NFC, so that's no surprise. Although it wouldn't surprise me if Seattle slips in there to the NFC Championship game. You know, in the AFC, naturally I've got Kansas City and Buffalo, because I really like what I see out of Buffalo, particularly with Josh Allen coming on. I think Kansas City will win. And then in the Super Bowl, you know, what I do think is it'll be a little bit of a switch, because I think that Patrick Mahomes, you know, will have better blocking if he can than he had in in the Tampa Bay game a year ago or in the Super Bowl. And so I think that Kansas City can win. But, you know, like anything else, getting back to the Super Bowl for teams is very, very difficult. That's why it could be tough. So, but I think Buffalo right now, with their defense, you know, with their offense and Josh Allen, that's the second best team, in my opinion, in the AFC.
Yeah, both all four of those teams you picked, I think, you know, pretty safe. All four of them pretty good. Hey, Johnny, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a great weekend. Enjoy opening weekend of the NFL.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, there he goes, John Clayton. Senior Broncos writer for DenverFan.com, presented by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. You know, just to slow Kansas City Chief fans roll down a little bit. Yes, it can happen. And in fact, it's happened recently. A team that lost in the Super Bowl, getting back to the Super Bowl the next year and winning it. New England did it a few years ago after losing to Philadelphia and Nick Foles. Still amazing that happened.
We're going to have systems.
Nope. Nick wasn't there. That was a Doug Peterson show. New England came
Rock,
back.
Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are.
New England came back the next year and won the Super Bowl. But before that, the last time a team, I'm quickly scanning here, the last time a team lost in the Super Bowl, like the Chiefs did last year, getting beat badly.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes forced to run for his life. The last time a team lost in the Super Bowl, got back to the Super Bowl the next year and won it. Wow. Has it ever happened? Man. I don't think it's ever happened. I'm going back now to like Super Bowl 10 here. Wow. No. Unless I'm missing. Okay. I did. Okay. I found one. Super All right. Bowl six. Miami lost to Dallas. Super Bowl seven.
Was
Miami
the
come back.
Undefeated this season.
Miami came back
Washington,
and won. Yep.
Right? Like 14-7.
So twice in the history of the NFL, as a team lost in the Super Bowl, come back the next year to win the Super Bowl. Those are the odds that the Chiefs are facing.
So you tell me there's a chance. They've done it once. Twice.
Twice. Like you said, 55 Super Bowls. Twice.
What's the percentage on that?
I'm not going to tackle that. I don't know.
Oh, I gotta.
How much does a gallon weigh?
Weighs a gallon.
Everybody knows that.
You established that.
Come on now.
Two is equal to.
It's actually easier to win the Super Bowl and get back to the Super Bowl than it is to lose the Super Bowl and get back. Which is funny because it goes against the idea. The idea is that you win the Super Bowl, you're fat and complacent the next year. If anything, it makes you more hungry. You got that taste of it. You want it again.
Right.
Whereas if you lose, it's almost like, wow, the long journey, all the work feels like it was for nothing, all for naught. And it's tough to kind of get back to that level again the next year.
Gosh, I hope the Chiefs don't go back to the Super Bowl.
God, I hope so.
Can you imagine 3 years in a row? Chiefs fans are already insufferable.
If it can't be the Broncos, is there a team from the AFC you're rooting for to go to the Super Bowl?
It can't be the Broncos?
Can't be the Broncos.
Oof. I like the Bills a lot.
Mm-hmm. Good fan base.
Great fan base.
No problem with that.
Yeah. Let me just look at
Cleveland? Come on. Cleveland in the Super Bowl? Sure.
That'd be good.
That'd be fun.
See, nobody from our division, obviously.
Obviously.
Cleveland, yeah.
Boy, there's really nobody in this conference.
What about Tennessee?
I like.
Tennessee is just like
they're anonymous. Just
Colts are that way for me too.
Yeah, exactly.
Colts are just like whatever. Cleveland and Buffalo would be the two teams that I would look at and go, yeah.
And that's only because of their,
get behind
only
them.
Because of their fan bases.
Right.
I'd like to see their fan bases.
I could get behind Baltimore just because I like John Harbaugh a lot.
Okay.
And it'd be the first time that style of quarterback that I can remember won a championship.
Coming up, some new details on why the Broncos were forced to play with no quarterbacks last year. That's next. Here's the best. So fresh off a weekend in which we saw sold out electric college venues. We're going to see the same thing. Well, in most places, can't speak for Jacksonville, but most places we're going to see sold out stadiums once again in the NFL, but it, a stark contrast in where we were last year at this time with the league. And interesting piece in the Los Angeles Times from Sam Farmer, who's as good as it gets when it comes to sports writing in this country, did a big piece on, you know, really what the league went through last year to get what a lot of people didn't think would get done, and that is play all 16 weeks, playoffs, Super Bowl. And it reveals in this piece that Roger Goodell and his minions, unbeknownst to the people he works for, the NFL owners, he was skeptical, even though the owners were like, full steam ahead, we're going to play 16 mm-hmm. weeks, you know, damn the torpedoes type thing.
Right.
But he had enough concern about the possibility of happening that he had put together the structure of a 10-week season, which would have started in November and would have delayed the Super Bowl. But luckily for all of us, the season got done. And it also included a bit about the Broncos' plight that led to them playing that game against the Saints without any quarterbacks. Reading from the piece, John Elway, Denver's president of football operations, made several frustrated pleas to Goodell to postpone the Sunday game until Tuesday when the quarterbacks would be available. The league denied those requests because surveillance video from Denver's facility showed the quarterbacks had tried to fool the system. They had removed their contact tracing devices and put them in the four corners of the meeting room. Then they sat together to watch film. That close contact automatically made them ineligible to play. Not exactly, I mean, for maybe a lot of people, first time they're hearing that. We've talked about that many times as to why that happened on a Tuesday, right? Their off day. They were working on their off day.
Right.
Quarterbacks.
Right.
Quarterbacks. And then extra work.
Put in that extra work. Want to sit by each other. They could poke each other, tickle each other.
He did off.
There is no question. You know, I got into an argument with a couple of people on social media. There is no question that this was punitive. The league punished the Broncos last year by force. Hey, man, there were games that were moved from Sunday to Monday, Sunday to Tuesday, Sunday to Wednesday, Sunday to Thursday, Sunday to Friday, Sunday to Saturday. There is no question. Hell, the Tennessee Titans practiced illegally on a high school field and still pushed their game back. So there is no question that this was punitive.
But just because the quarterbacks took their tracers off? That seems a bit harsh.
Here's what I know about the league. You make a mistake, and they are very forgiving. You make a mistake, and you lie about the mistake, and then they dig deeper and find other things that are incorrect in your protocol or your following of protocol. Then they make an example. And that was an example. So there were, listen, I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't know exactly what else went down, but obviously, come on. I mean, are we reading the tea leaves here? You think they just wanted to make an example of the Broncos because why? We decided we don't like the Broncos? You think that's all there was to it? Everything, like, here's the thing about the meeting room. This is mind-boggling, by the way. If that report, and I have no reason to believe that it's not true, if you separated your contact tracers and put in the four corners of the room and then sat together and had a tickle fight, All those rooms are videoed. Like, there's legitimate video running. There's surveillance video. Like, they
that the league has access to?
Yeah. The league says, let's pull up that room. Like, I think that, I'm sure the technology is you walk in, you turn on the lights, or you walk in and boom, the camera's already gone. I don't know how exactly it works, but they called up this surveillance video. So you're seeing your quarterbacks do it. You know the room. Maybe you think because it's your day off, the room isn't being taped on that day.
Yeah, that's still a bad look for Drew. Or that his mom came to his rescue. He was there working on his day off.
Again, lifestyle. Playing the quarterback position is a lifestyle.
It is lifestyle. And to Drew's credit.
He busted his butt this offseason.
I think, no question. I think Drew Lock now understands what an off day means for a quarterback in the NFL during season. I think that's part of the maturity and the growth.
Sure.
But a year ago?
He went down the Case Keenum route.
But a year ago?
He learned what it was to be a franchise quarterback.
Right.
Keenum, here's the interception.
And, yeah, I mean, it's also a reminder of how they I'm not here to make a bunch of excuses for Drew Lock, but he was not afforded the best of help, the best of a supporting help when it comes to, you know, an offensive coordinator that he clearly seemed to click with all of a sudden is gone,
mm-hmm.
replaced by a guy he doesn't click with in a pandemic year. And at a time where he probably could have really used a true veteran mentor quarterback, and they didn't give him one.
Correct.
I mean, if Josh McCown, go together a list. If Josh McCown's in that room, are they pulling a stunt like that?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
Go down the list of veteran mentor quarterbacks that are out there. Alex Smith. Does that happen if Alex Smith is your veteran mentor quarterback? Ryan Fitzpatrick? Guys like that? No.
No, you sit 6 feet apart and you watch film together. Yeah, I mean, anyhow, that's history. They had a play that it goes down. They had a play without a quarterback. Actually, the starter in that game was, took a direct snap to Philip Lindsay or something.
Will in Fort Collins. Does the league have to ask Bill Belichick for that meeting room video?
Yeah, they go straight to the Patriots and they say, can you give us the Broncos?
No. Tuesday? Oh, they have the Broncos. Yeah, I see.
Right.
I see you. I see you.
Yeah. I really pledge you. Right.
They go, hey, Bill, do you have the Broncos Tuesday quarterback meeting on their off day?
We're having a hard time finding it. Do you have it? Sure. Yeah. I'll get it right to you.
What do you need? What do you need? My video guy, I'll send it to you.
What do you need?
You got a, what do you use to download big files and send it to people?
Right. You just kind of got his little file. He's like, Broncos, you say. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Bills, Browns, Cardinals.
Yeah, I like football season and all the things that go with it.
I'll Dropbox you the video.
Sorry, here you go. Broncos, here you go.
Put it in Dropbox. Send it to you. We got it. That's funny.
Dexter, harsh. The rules were sit away from each other. They literally took off their stuff, put them as far away as possible, then snuggled up to each other. Are you bleeping kidding me? Okay. All I'm saying is that one incident is enough to make NFL history. As you said, there were teams that were practicing together. They were not penalized, punished in such a way. I don't know. I guess just part of me thinks there had to be more.
Oh, of course there was more.
More than just that incident.
Of course there was more.
That there was a tally of
infractions. Yes.
And that put it over the top.
And that was like, if you guys aren't going to hear, you know, I mean, speculation. Maybe it's not. Maybe that was it. Maybe the league was so hell-bent for election to say, hey, we're going to finish the season. We're going to get it done. And you know, consequences be damned. Maybe that was the scenario. But it feels to me like had there been no other infractions, then they would have moved it to Tuesday when they had quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow. And I also strongly suspect that if Pat Bowlen's the owner, that doesn't happen.
I think that's a good point.
I don't think
that's
happens.
A good point.
Okay. All right. We're done. Great job, Millennial Ben. Thank you for all the great texts. Good job, listeners.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.